Hey, y'all, what's up? It's Jess Hilarious, and I'm just making sure y'all know that I got a podcast called Carefully Reckless on Black Effect Network. That's where I tell all my business that y'all already know and carefully comment on other people's business, too. It's respectable but messy at the same time, so make sure you tune in. Listen to Carefully Reckless every Wednesday, that's hump day, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you ever wish you could get more from your podcast? Well, you can with BuzzFeed Daily, hosted by me, Casey Rackham.
And me, Zach Safford. On our show, we've got more good news and more pop culture.
More memes and more celebrity tea.
More of everything that's blowing up your timeline and trending on the internet.
Every weekday evening, we're giving you more of what you need to enjoy your day. Because what's life if it isn't to be enjoyed?
Listen to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Serious Rapshit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
Me and my friend take this rapshit too.
Hey, yo, mic check, 1, 2. Episode 116.
Yes, 116.
Episode 116, Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm your host, John.
And I'm your other host, Josh.
And yeah, we on and popping. How you been, Josh?
Good, man. Good. Happy New Year.
Happy motherfucking New Year.
Yeah, man.
It is 2020.
Yeah.
Our friendship has survived.
Another year, yeah.
This podcast has survived.
And another thrived.
Year. And listen, we
out here prospering.
We was down, now we up. Good. Shit, it's a new day. Goddamn.
Yeah, you spent the new year stepping on dogs at a strip club. That's how you ring the new year, baby.
I love how you throwing that in, like you're gonna force me to tell that story. I went to a strip club on New Year's. The ball dropped. We were like drinking and bar hopping, and we ended up in a strip club around our way, and my partner and I, you know, we go to this place against our best judgment.
The Republican?
Yeah, you can say it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you can always edit that out, so there's no difference.
Yeah. So, you know, we go to this place, it's not too far from us, and it's like part, it's a strip club, but it's like part dive bar, part like hipster strip club. It'd be like motherfuckers.
Y'all could be an oasis.
They should have called it like the Island of Patmos.
Yeah, that would have been this fucking strip club. That's actually a kind of dope name for a strip club.
Island of Patmos. So, you know, we in there. She's my cherry pie. Like, it's titties out, it's ass and shit. But yeah, I go over to the bar to order a drink. And I stepped on somebody's dog. Lo and behold.
Were they blind or something?
So after I got the drink, I was like, oh shit, my bad, dog. After I got the drink, I was telling Liz, I was like, yo, I just stepped on this dog. This dog is like running around the strip club because apparently they have a house dog in this fucking. Okay. He's just hanging out in the strip club. And
because the little lipstick's hanging out his gat because he's seeing all the titties.
He's walking around with a little dog boner. And so I mentioned it, and a lady who was sitting across from us was like, oh, yeah, he doesn't really move out the way because he's deaf and blind. I'm like, fuck. So he don't know what kind of nasty debauchery is going on. It's the grungiest. Like, you know, you and I have been in, the hood strip clubs. This motherfucker is a grimy club.
Yeah.
My mother would be ashamed of me
for being in there
if she knew I willingly hung out in this place. Apparently they just have a house dog who just roams around. He's like one of those little tiny fuzzy dogs, little white fuzzy dog. I don't know what they're called, but yeah, he just like roams around the club. And yeah, I definitely stepped on that nigga while I was trying to buy like a PBR at the bar.
And you would think he, like, blind or not, or deaf or not, like, you know, dogs can like feel like natural disasters in the ground. Animals can feel like natural disasters in the ground and shit.
He should have felt me walking over.
He should have felt you walking over and was like, yo, I gotta get up and move and shit.
Yo, I mean, you know, one good thing, I ain't had Tim's on when I stepped on him.
Yeah.
And it didn't seem like he was hurt. It seemed like he was just, you know, and he was cool. But yeah, it was, South Philly is weird. South Philly's so strange. The fucking, for folks who don't know, every New Year's group called the Mummers,
yes,
have a parade in Philadelphia. It's a big fucking deal. And they dress up in like clown outfits and they have the string bands come and play music. It's like a 100-year-old tradition. But they also wear blackface.
Yes. Every year they manage to get away with wearing blackface.
Every fucking year.
And guess what? The city like sponsors this. They give them money. Yeah. Like, you know what
I mean?
The
city just allows it. They allow it. And they parade up and down Broad Street in blackface. And this year was no different.
No. No.
And there's a little like Mummers like clubhouse right around the corner from our house, like on the next block over. So we were in like, you know, ground zero for this shit. Dog, I swear to God, on New Year's Day, like the first, I woke up, was woken up at 6 a.m. to them blasting music. They had a, like a truck with like 8 subwoofers on the back of the truck.
Just loud and annoying for no reason.
Dog, they was blasting music so fucking loud. It was one nigga on the sidewalk in front of our house with a microphone, like making announcements. All right, you guys, we're gonna head down Snyder. When we hit Snyder, we're gonna go on the Broad. We're gonna join the parade route because it's, you know, it's all like working class, you know, Italian and Irish folks, and they love like the fucking blackface shit. And it's wild, you know what I mean? It's wild that it's allowed.
They grab like two dudes who are like supposedly representing our patron saint, Gritty.
Yeah, right. They were all dressed up like the Flyers mascot, Gritty,
but needed blackface. It's like, he's orange. Like, why wouldn't you just paint your face orange?
I love that they rolled up on these dudes there. Like, who are you supposed to be? It's like, oh yeah, we're Gritty.
Yeah.
And they took the time to make the blackface.
Yeah.
No orange beard.
Yeah, exactly.
No beard.
Or just be like, because you know, we're Flyers colors. We're black and orange because they had like orange fringe on like a black outfit.
Right, right.
And it's like, well, like, why didn't you do half your face black and half your face orange if you were like the Flyers?
If that was the motivation.
Or if you're Gritty, you'd be dressed in all orange because Gritty's orange.
Yeah, why not just do your whole face orange?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, it's bizarre. And it just, it, there's been like controversy for years.
Yeah.
Folks have been like, we need to shut this parade down.
Well, it started, the Mummers started because it was like, what's that shit called? Vaudeville type shit.
Yeah.
It was like these poor immigrant, you know, white families, Italian and Irish, and they would dress up in blackface because that was like the thing to do in that time.
During the Vaudeville era.
During a Vaudeville era, that's what they did. And like, so they would put on this blackface because, you know what, like, in America, capitalism teaches you to be like, you're always better if there's someone below you. So,
right.
You know what I mean? You can make fun of these people that are below you and shit like that. So it's been a thing throughout the history of the Mummers. This isn't new. You know, Trump came into office and now we have, you know what I mean, blackface. Like,
yeah, y'all got to stop apologizing for like the white working class with like this Trump shit. You know what I mean? Or like economic. Oh, the economy's down, so white people decide to be racist. That's not true.
Nah.
There were more people when there was an economic boom in this country, you know, in like the post-war era. There were so many lynchings that were still happening.
So, yeah, come on. Because like anytime, like if there is an economic boom, everybody sees parts of it, at least even in the smallest areas, right? So like anytime there's been a rise in like black individualism, as far as like economic individualism.
Yeah, yeah.
white people have gone and specifically attacked that because you want to like take those rights, that power away. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So we had to deal with that over the weekend. It was weird. The mummer shit is strange. And this is our first New Year's in South Philly, which is like the mecca center of this shit. So, you know, it made me want to move. And we only been here.
You was on Craigslist. Like, fucking gotta find an apartment.
I'm on Zillow looking at houses. Like, it's, yeah, we've only been here since August. And yeah, it made me reconsider moving to this neighborhood. This neighborhood's cool. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like got a lot of diversity of like stuff you could do and all different kind of shit. But I don't know if I can be in the center of that shit every year. Because even beyond, like, we didn't see anybody in blackface. That was like on the news and shit. But the noise and like how, you know, like intrusive it was. Like they on the block, like right where you sometimes park right in front of our crib. Yeah. Like they had like 8 subs just like
right outside your bedroom.
Blasted. Yo, like it shook our house.
Yeah.
The music was that loud and forceful. I don't know if I could fuck with that. You know what
Meanwhile,
I mean?
Like a dune day we get shut down if it was that loud.
we have a festival every year here in Philly called a dune day. It's like an African cultural festival and like everybody come out and people do capoeira and shit. And it's like real tame. They wouldn't let us catch wreck like they let these motherfuckers catch wreck.
Like that.
Shout out to Charlie. I put on IG, I was hanging out the window. It was like, boo, this shit's bullshit. And Charlie inboxed me. He was like, yo, call the cops. I was like, bro, they are the cops.
Yeah, exactly. You know but what that's I mean? Half the police force down there.
Right. Like, they literally, the little clubhouse behind us, the Mummers Fly, like the American flag on one side and the Blue Lives Matter flag on the other side. Yo, it's... I saw a fucking sister. I left out there later that night because they party like the whole day.
I was out driving maybe around like midnight. And you can't, like, one of their big areas is 2nd Street down here. Like, 2nd Street is like the Mummers area. There's actually a Mummers like museum there and all that shit on 2nd in Washington.
Yeah.
And I tried to like, go down. I needed to get onto like Delaware Ave, and like you have to drive all the way down to Oregon to get over because it's closed down from Washington. 2nd Street is closed down from Washington all the way down to Oregon.
Yeah,
you can't drive. You can't get over. Like you have to drive all the way down to get over to swing around.
They take over.
Yeah,
they take over, and it was like. Folks, for that from 6 in the morning all the way until later that evening, it was like folks like milling around and like hanging out and shit.
Dude,
and
they piss everywhere and like.
I think I saw human shit on the
ground. I wouldn't be surprised.
I was walking around a corner earlier.
Wouldn't be surprised. Dude, they don't. They're like it's like dude. They're drunk from like 6 a.m. until fucking 2 or 3 in the morning.
Just out here catching wreck. I legit. Saw a sister with a Blue Lives Matter flag draped around her body. I was like, yo, whose people is this?
I see somebody said, like, maybe they a Crip and they don't realize what the flag reps.
Right.
They just saw the red, they just saw the blue stripe down the jaw, and it was like, yo.
I was, like, deeply offended. Like, damn, sis, you just out here rocking that?
All skin folk ain't kin folk, yeah.
Clearly. God damn. But, yeah, that was, you know... the eventful shit of the weekend. You know, I'm glad it's like 2020. 2020 last year.
Vision, funny money vision.
Listen, last year was really...
That's a Mace lyric.
It sounded like it. Or Fabulous back when he was Fabulous Sport. You know, I always feel like this a little bit. Like, by the end of the year, I feel a little, like, worn down.
Yeah.
And then when the new year comes, it's like, boom, I snap right back into action. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think part of that, too, is, like, it's just exhausting. It's a large part of,
like there's a lot of like holiday get-togethers and
right. It's a lot of activity.
Yeah, it's a socially exhausting time of the year. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I avoid all that kind of shit, so I get to not like have to deal with that.
Yeah,
I get to pick and choose when I want to do a lot of that shit, which is love.
I'm in all of it. I'm doing like I'm when I was younger, I was. You know, not fucking with that shit. I strayed away from it. The older I get, the more I legit was like out, you know, like buying like the gifts and buying like the fucking rabbit, the paper that you put in the little gift bags and shit.
Tissue paper and shit.
Yeah, I get more into it as I get older.
I love that aspect. I like don't do like the family shit. Like I have the choice to be like, oh, I can go to somebody's house and do that if I want to.
Right.
If I don't want to, I could just sit down and watch like basketball games all day on Christmas Day.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
which is love.
Yeah. So like, you know, but I think like if I was with somebody who I cared about and I was with somebody like a significant other, then that would be different. I'd be more willing, and I wanted to be, and I was with that person and wanted to go do stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I think I probably would want to go do stuff. Now I'm like, well, I'm not, so I'm not like
just fucking rock out.
Yeah,
yeah. I kind of cheated myself. I said, be also bullshit sometimes. I said to myself and the internet, like, yeah, the next you know couple days to the ball drop, I'ma chill, I'ma reflect. I'm going to meditate. You know what I mean? I'm going to bring it in right. I ain't do none of that shit. I was right up at 2 a.m. pitching fucking stories
because
I'm thinking about making money over the next month and shit. And like,
dude, it's hard, man, especially when you're like an independent, worker, self-employee, essentially.
Yeah. Who like going to give me a vacation?
Yeah, your mind has to be on, like, hustling a lot. You know what I mean? Like, that's something I'm learning as I've gone into that of being like, oh, like, you have to be on hustle mode.
Right.
Like, 100% of the time. Because there's technically no off period. Like, you can get an email at fucking 7:30 at night and be like, oh, I got to read this email.
Yeah, I got to
like,
do this.
Like, you know what I mean? There's not like, oh, there's time to clock out. Because I used to shit on my homegirl who, she works in, like, politics. And, like, she'd be like, we would go all hang out in like a Saturday and she's like still sitting there answering emails. I'm like, yo, it's a Saturday. Like, turn that shit off.
It don't matter.
Because that was the one thing about my old job. Like, as soon as I left that motherfucker, like my brain turned off from that shit. Like, there was no, I would put my work phone in the other room. I wouldn't answer it. Like, yo, don't call me when I'm not supposed to be in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, when you're doing, but you know, it also comes with the fact of being like, yo, but I'm getting this for me and I'm building my own empire as opposed to like, yo, I'm working to, you know, work for somebody else. Cause if they can pay me $20 an hour, that means they're getting way more than $20 for the work that I'm doing.
Right. For me at least, I have to figure out how to separate my time.
Yeah.
What I mean?
Yeah, it comes with like time management and shit.
Yeah, it can't be just I'm always accessible. I don't want to be.
Nope.
I don't fucking want to be. You know what I mean? Like I have emails that I could have gotten to today. I just didn't.
Yeah.
I said to myself, like, I'm not going to have other stuff in front of me and I'm not going to jump into that just yet.
Yeah, I think it's a big thing of learning like, well, this needs my attention right now. This doesn't need my attention right now.
Right. Right.
Like, I think that's a big part of it. It's like, you know, just learning to reason in the idea of like, oh, I got to do this right now. This doesn't need my attention immediately. I can get to this tomorrow. Or if it's a Friday, be like, well, I'll get on this Monday. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Even if it's just a quick thing of being like, I just saw this. I'll be on this stuff Monday. Mm-hmm. And then like, that's a 2-second email that you can send out and be like, yo, I don't got to touch, worry about that shit now.
Yeah. Well, something that we do have to get to now. We're going to take a little break.
Yes.
Do the thing.
Gotta pay the bills, yo.
Yeah, and we'll come back.
If I could be you.
And you could be me. For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And we're back. It's funny because while we were being assaulted by the mummers and this loud ass music, I noticed that a funny thing is that, like, okay, this is known to be like a racist institution,
yeah,
in Philadelphia, all of this other shit. But these motherfuckers was definitely blasting a lot of hip hop,
mm-hmm,
while they were playing this shit.
Well, the two dudes they found with the blackface, the one boy had the bandana around his head like Pac used to wear, like, but he had, you know, the joint like going Pac in front with the two like ends of it and shit.
Pac when he shot them cops.
Yeah.
And the bandana. Yo, it's funny to me because, like, they're blasting this music, and they were playing like 50 Cent. Mm-hmm. It was all like played out shit.
Yeah,
like, this was like 50 Cent. They played a mashup of Bodak Yellow with the Addams Family music to it. And they were playing like Ying Yang Twins and all of this shit. And I'm like, y'all motherfuckers know full well y'all don't like black folks.
To the window. To the walls.
To the blackface. Oh, I know where to go with that. But like, I'm like, y'all blasting this shit, this rap music, and y'all know full well y'all like black folks. This is weird to me, and it kind of got me thinking about how we're really moving into a space culturally where you have like hip hop on one hand, but then you have people who like it and enjoy it and who are very comfortable with being outwardly racist, or
yes,
like associating themselves with outwardly racist things. Kid Rock sells pro-Trump t-shirts on his website.
Yeah. And he has like a half black kid, doesn't he? Like,
I think his kid is black.
He had a kid with Midori? Was that the porn star?
The porn star Midori. Yeah.
Pretty sure he had a kid with the porn star Midori.
Who is also Jody Watley's sister?
I think so. Yeah,
I think Midori's Jody Watley's sister. Yeah. See, the shit goes deep. But yeah, it was weird because a little while ago, probably like a week or so ago, the homie Reef, shout out to Reef, had a post on Facebook where he was talking about Kid Rock, and he said, "I'm gonna keep it real with y'all. Like, there's I'm paraphrasing, but he was like, there's at least like 20 Kid Rocks at every hip hop show."
Oh yeah.
White kids who are like in the hip hop, this, that, and the third. But they don't really fuck with black folks.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And I feel like a lot of motherfuckers, you know, they're in the rap in their like younger years, like a Kid Rock, somebody who, when Kid Rock came out when we was young boys, he had like the high top fade,
yeah,
like the Kid and Play box and all of that shit, and was out here like really like rapping. And then, you know, we've seen him progressively move more to quote unquote like white music.
Yeah.
You know, aesthetically.
Now he's from
Also politically he's moved like whiter into the right.
He's from Detroit, which is in Michigan, which is like next to Canada, yet somehow he sold himself as this southern
like, the most northern part of the country,
yeah,
and he came out with like the rebel flag and like a 10-gallon hat or some goofy shit, and white people were like, yep, let's do it.
Yeah,
I believe it.
He's definitely sold himself as like Sweet Home Alabama, meanwhile he's from like and on top of that, he's from like a super like rich, his family was like rich.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Like, he was, like, grew up, like, picking apples on his family's apple farms and shit like that. Like, he's super rich.
So he's, like, cosplaying as, poor white person.
Yeah, he cosplayed as a, you know, as a rapper for a while, and then he cosplayed as a fucking poor southern white trash.
That's wild. That's so wild. I mean, country music is interesting in that way, too, because you have, like, country music stars who are, like, from Australia or some shit. Or, you know, like, wherever. It doesn't even really need to be southern and working class.
Nah.
Like, they, you know, like you would think.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of that started that way, and, like, because it started kind of from folk music and shit like that. So, like, it came out of, like, that kind of arena. And then now is, like, you know, you got people doing that shit. Like, what's her name?
Taylor Swift?
Taylor Swift. She was, like, a country artist at one point. And she's, like, super pop now. Like,
right.
So, like, it's kind of a something that has evolved over time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's crazy to see, like, that energy is, like, has infected hip-hop.
Yeah. We got, like, a full-on... It's very low-key. Like, yes. It's not, like, something that's selling millions of records. But there's definitely, like, alt-right strains in, you know, a lot of rap music now.
It's white, like, nationalist rap.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
hip-hop and all of that. Like, country hip-hop. And it's not even that, you know, inherently... Because I don't want to... you know, pitch it like things that are white working class cultural signifiers are inherently racist.
No.
But you literally got people, we did a little research while we were talking about this off mic beforehand. So we were like listening to some folks, and you straight up have people who are dropping like N-bombs over like trap beats.
Yep.
And I ain't talking about, like, black folks saying, like, nigga, this is, like, hard ER. Like, white people, white rappers.
Yeah, I played the one track, and, like, it went through and passed that bar. And you were like, hold on, wait, did he just say the N-word?
Yeah, like, run that back? Yeah, it was Upchurch.
Upchurch, yep.
Yeah. Straight up, like, a lot of the guitars were country, and, like, the themes musically had, like, a country feel. But the beat was, like, a straight trap beat, like the drums and shit. And yeah, my man dropped like a hard ER on the end of the N-word. Like, it blew me away.
Yeah, I think there's two huge factors that, like, are like the jump off points for this. First would be like Eminem's rise to success. And that's no fault to M. Like, that's not saying like, oh, M is the reason we have MAGA rap. The reason, but what we get from it is because he is a white dude who was from the trailer park and, you know, he had dyed blonde hair type. Like, he was not like
stereotypically what you would think a rapper would be.
He like kind of like was out there, and like he talked about like his upbringing, which was different in a lot of ways than like our upbringing or more traditional quote unquote hip hop upbringing or whatever.
City shit.
But he's from Detroit. I mean, and this dude was in, you know, black spaces and was respectful of those spaces and shit like that. And I think a lot of these dudes who like live in Kentucky who have never seen a black person outside of like they play for the Wildcats or some shit.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, there's definitely an arena where these dudes don't have much contact with people of color.
Yeah.
But they love rap music, and they want to do rap music. And then, like, you know, they're early, you know, late teens, early 20s. And as they gotten older, they got more and more conservative, and their music has gotten more. Because I guarantee you, if you do deep dives on dudes like Upchurch and something Calhoun or whatever that dude's name was.
Adam Calhoun.
Yeah, something like that. And, you know, you go do deep dives on these dudes, like, actual catalogs. Like, I guarantee you, it first did not start out that way. Yeah. Like, it started, like, a completely different lane of hip-hop. But then, like, then they're like, oh, well, you know, I'm proud to be white trash. And then, you know what? I'm proud to be a Southerner and flying my rebel flag. Right. And eventually, it became a backlash toward very left-leaning politics through that have like has taken over social media and shit like that.
I was going to say a lot of it because the guy Adam Calhoun that you mentioned has a song called Racism. Mm-hmm. Where he starts out, you know, yeah, I'm a redneck, and yeah, I'm this and that, you know, I got a broken down truck, blah, 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 blah. Really, like,
drinking
tame.
Moonshine, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. Really tame, you know, redneck stereotypes. But then the second verse, he is like, yeah, I'm a nigga, and I kill people for Jordans, and yeah, I'm a piece of shit, and I'm getting welfare. I'm like,
like you said, it definitely sounded like he wrote that second verse first.
He wrote the first one. He wrote like, the second verse first.
How can I get by you making this as a song and not be throwing on like complete, like he's like with what are some of those like white nationalist like punk bands and shit like
right,
that.
Right,
like, he definitely would have got thrown in there.
I don't want to be on like the ACLU or whatever organization does like the hate crime.
Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. I don't want to be on that shit.
He gets put in like, you know how like back in the day, like video stores would have like the beaded curtain that would separate like the porn from the regular video. He didn't want to be on like the beaded curtain part of iTunes and shit. Like he's like, I don't want to be on that part.
It's crazy how this song was crafted because yeah, it's really like tame redneck stereotypes, and then the most
like, I like my cowboy boots and shit like that, like,
juxtaposed with like the most vicious.
I sell
like,
crack in front of liquor stores,
right?
Like that doesn't equate. Like
what? Like, those aren't like comparable stereotypes. Nah. Joyner Lucas did something within a similar spirit with the I'm Not Racist song, which I thought, you know, was well done in some ways, but also had like problematic politics in another way. Just his perspective I disagreed with. But I, you know, LL did a similar thing with that Accidental Racist song. I think the stereotypes have weight because of the social power that is behind them. So the stereotype that white people can't dance, for example, doesn't have the same kind of social weight that stereotypes against black people have, or maybe Asian people have. Mm-hmm. Like those stereotypes are different because they're backed up by real world power dynamics that are a racial, reflecting the racial hierarchy. So if black people say, oh, that white person can dance, yuck, 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 you know, white people are quick to like throw even more, you know, racism or stereotypes at them as a response and be like, you know, white people can't dance. Ha ha ha. Well, you know, you're a nigger and your dad's in jail.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And we're like, oh no, we're just playing around with stereotypes. Like, no, that shit doesn't have, kind of weight.
Yeah. There's no equation there. Like that doesn't, you know what I mean? Like that's not that fraction doesn't work. Like, you know what I mean?
So you could tell that's what, this cat, Adam Calhoun was kind of trying to do with this racism song. But it seems like, yeah, like you said, like there's like a rise of white nationalist sentiment in rap music. And I can't say that I'm surprised at it, you know, because you and I were talking about it earlier. In my opinion, there's throughout the whole history of like certainly music, popular music in American culture, there's like this dynamic, this tension between like black people creating a music and white people taking the music.
Yeah.
So white people, I think, genuinely have enjoyed the blues, jazz, hip hop, all of that stuff. I think that white people genuinely like this music. Sometimes when you talk about this stuff, white people are like, oh, well, you don't want me to like rap because I'm white? No, that's not the case.
No.
I do think that white people genuinely enjoy this music, but I think that in another sense, there's historically this kind of like underlying like distaste for black people general.
I mean, you look at stuff.
So like, it's like it creates a tension.
You look at stuff like the Cotton Club, where like black artists could come play, but they weren't like black people weren't allowed in the front door.
Right.
Only white audiences were allowed there.
Right. They were booking concerts throughout
the Jim Crow South, where white people would pay money to go see and enjoy black music, but the musicians themselves couldn't stay in hotels in the towns. They had to enter in through the back and through the kitchen
through
and
all that stuff.
So America historically has this long history of the broader white culture being really intrigued and fascinated by black music and black art, but also hostile towards black people. That's those two things absolutely exist together. That's really, to me, the narrative, like the historical narrative of popular music in America.
Yeah, I also think there's a large factor of white MCs in particular, who were like super into underground shit, mm-hmm. that was heavily like Behold a Pale Horse shit, like these Illuminati theories of like
the conspiracy
shit that like conspiracy theories tend to lead like very right wing, like super Christian, very anti-Semitic, very homophobic. Like these ideas that like, oh, well, they're, you know, socialism is trying to teach you to like be accepting of all these depravities and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And like, if you go deep dive further and further and further, like, you know, the separation between like, you know, watching Zeitgeist on YouTube, then like slipping into InfoWars and then joining a militia in Michigan, like those things, like they're not like these giant leaps that like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you have like these white MCs who are like super underground, and then, you know, they start to do more and more of this shit, and next thing you know, they're listening to InfoWars and they're listening to Alex Jones say, you know, Obama's a Kenyan devil that, you know what I mean, that's trying to take over the world. Yeah. Who's part of a child abduction cult and shit like that. Like, those are the, you know, like, then next thing you know, you're saying, you know, MAGA in your raps. And, you know, if I say the truth, you call me racist.
Yeah, that dude, what the fuck is
Lord Hush or Lush Hus, or Lusk or whatever his name is.
I don't know how to say your name, dog. Your raps is trash. But, yeah, a lot of his songs are like that. Like, oh, if I speak the truth, then you're calling me a racist, which is a common tactic.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely super right wing.
Yeah, common tactic that folks use. And, I, you know, you see it all over, even when talking about, you know, like homophobia or something like that, like another like form of hatred.
Yeah,
people would be like, "Well, you just don't like me telling, you know, my truth or whatever." Like, no, your truth is aligned with a systemic oppression. You know what I'm saying? Like,
well, because they'll tie a lot of that shit into like anti-Islamic shit, a lot of Islamic phobia, because like Nostradamus predicted that the next great war would be fought with a leader from the Middle East and blah blah blah, and then like.
Right.
Look, like all those, I mean, like, because we've seen a million hip hop conspiracy theory videos and all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
And, like, it all is very, like, oh, you know, letting your kid be gay is a blood sacrifice to the Illuminati and shit like that. Like, so, like, there's a lot of very right leaning ideas in those things. It's crazy.
And it fucks me up. Because when I had hair, when I used to go to the barbershop, you know, we'd be like sitting around and like building and like kicking that shit and like talking about the world, as is, you know, that's what you do in a barbershop. And cats would always bring like Alex Jones or like InfoWars and all of that stuff. And I'm like, yo, you know, them people, like, they hate you. Like, there's not.
Yeah.
You know, there's an odd but fascinating overlap between white, young white males who are of like the hip hop generation and who are into conspiracy theory stuff and like the InfoWars stuff, and young black males of the same age who are into that very same thing.
Yeah.
Zeitgeist, InfoWars, all of that stuff. It has a strange overlap, and you're seeing, particularly from this like white side of the equation, we're seeing that come out in the music a lot. There used to be more like conspiracy theory type stuff and like proto zeitgeist type ideologies in like black underground hip hop in the late 90s. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, but niggas is pretty much off of that.
Yeah.
You still see people in the street that are on it, but not really cats rapping about that kind of stuff.
Yeah, like, you know, the like ways to spot them, like army fatigue jacket.
Right.
Like, you know what I
camo
mean?
Camo pants.
Yeah, some camo pants.
You know what I'm saying? Some brown chuckers.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Easily spot them guys. But, you know, now, I think it's, I agree. I think that.
Lugs boots.
You said what? Lugs
boots.
Wow. I think that, like, I agree with what you said. I think that it's a twofold kind of thing. It's, you know, the influence, of the aesthetic influence of Eminem and his narrative on one hand, but then on the other hand, I think that it is like this thread of conspiracy theory stuff too.
Yeah, there's definitely like, there's definitely large ties to those areas. Like, and I mean, other shit obviously has its own impact in like Trump's election and like all that kind of shit all plays into it. Cause I see, like, I knew people, a lot of people who were like, you know, you didn't think they were like racist, but then Trump got elected and like, oh, well, I don't really think, I just like him because he speaks his mind.
Mm.
And so that becomes.
Speak his mind about what?
Yeah, exactly.
And what is he saying that you agree with? Because motherfuckers can speak their mind and I disagree with what they're saying. If I like you because, oh, you speak your mind, generally it's because I'm aligned with what you're saying.
Absolutely. And also, it could be the aspect of like, there's a lot of people that fuck with him because they're like, oh, well, he just doesn't give a fuck. And I don't give a fuck. Like, it's a joke. It's a joke that he even got elected.
Yeah.
But that.
We see with this Iran shit is not a joke.
No, exactly. But the whole thing is, it's easy to do that when the shit doesn't affect you.
Right.
So if you're a white male, like, this stuff doesn't affect you in any type of way. Like, anything he's doing, I mean, aside, like, wrecking the economy, shit like that.
I was
like,
say he might screw y'all, too.
He is. I mean, like, honestly, he is. But the fact is, you, like, people will ignore that because, you know, capitalism is a bitch in the first place.
Yeah.
So they'll ignore those arenas and go, like, well, I'm not gay, so, like, and I'm not trans, so, like, eliminating trans people from the military, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? It doesn't affect me, and I don't know anybody who's trans, so fuck it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know gay folks, so fuck them. Like, you know what I mean?
A lot of our problem as a society is our inability to feel for other people.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not trans either. I'm not gay either. You know what I'm saying?
Well, empathy is like...
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean?
It's like 101 shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want... That's the thing. We were talking about it off mic earlier, with like this whole Iran thing and, you know, looking like we're on the eve of a U.S. military intervention in Iran. My immediate thought when something like that happens is for the people of that country, not their rulers or, you know, the government officials or anything like that, but like the people of
in
those countries. My heart goes out to them.
I mean, it's a million plus Iraqis have died since the second Iraq war. Like,
it's terrible. It's terrible. And I don't see, we're coming up on break time and I don't want to spend too much time on this, but yeah, it's disheartening because I don't see what the strategy is to get away from militarism and like racism, capitalism, the shit that MLK was talking about back in the day.
Yeah.
We remember I Have a Dream and all of that, but we don't remember MLK talking about the war in Vietnam or militarism.
The much more radicalized MLK.
Yeah, which was like a reasonable proposition, was that, you know, the U.S. shouldn't dominate the world through, you know, its military, that people shouldn't be dying poor on the streets. MLK's like radical stances were like practical shit.
You know
what I'm saying?
Yeah, like, I've always wondered why like ideas like universal health care, universal school lunch, you know, universal pre-K, universal college, like these ideas of like, hey, everybody gets like a fair shake in life and that should be good. Like, those are like, well, that's radical. Like, why would we ever do that? Let's, you know, make it more difficult for people who are already behind. Let's cut SNAP benefits. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, why? That's not a radical idea. You know what I mean? But again, a lot of that comes to like people who are in power and how they can label things.
Right. And how they can frame it, you know, for the rest of us to go along with.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, I think that kind of like wrapping up this section, I think that more so than like the stereotyping stuff and like the saying the N-bomb and all of that stuff, what bothers me the most about this, you know, kind of like rise of like white nationalist rap or like, you know, there was a blogger, Kevin Nottingham, mm-hmm. that was recently like blasted on Twitter for being a hip hop blogger, but also a Trump supporter, which is silly. It's not only is it like a misappropriation of black culture and black music, but it's the fact that it's using black music to not struggle against the powers that be.
Yeah.
There's so much shit that's going on in the world where powerful people are fucking the rest of us. And you use, you know, this beautiful platform of hip hop culture and rap music to fly the fucking rebel flag and like rap about this dumb shit, about it, this dumb like homophobic shit that Lord Uchus dude, whatever his fucking name, however you say it, saying like homophobic shit on the songs. Like you
throwing
could,
up the Proud Boy shit.
Yeah, throw up the Proud Boy shit, the OK signal and shit.
And I think, again, I think that's why a large part is so important that we control the narrative of hip hop. And when I say we, it's the universal we of people in the culture.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? Because that's extremely important.
Absolutely. So yeah, we're going to jump into our last break and we're going to get back and talk about some new music.
Yep.
Word.
Hello, lovelies. This is Arden Marine, and you may know me from Chelsea Lately or Shameless, or more recently as Regina Sinclair on Insatiable on Netflix. I want to tell you about my podcast, Will You Accept This Rose, where we recap all the seasons of The Bachelor franchise, and we are very excited to talk about the new season of The Bachelor with Matt James. Each episode, we bring in amazing celebrity guests, and we have a bunch of amazing guests planned to cover this season with us, including Lance Bass, Ashley I from The Bachelor franchise, Padgett Brewster, Doug Benson, Jerry Traynor, Rob Benedict, Lauren Lapkus, Brian Safi, Ross Matthews, Kate Micucci, Scott Aukerman, Miles Gray, Lacey Mosley, Michelle Collins, and more. If you watch The Bachelor franchise, you're going to love hanging with us while we get into the hot details of the show. You may have other choices in Bachelor podcasts, but none that are this funny, and we are truly fans. Catch our episodes every Wednesday and listen to Will You Accept This Rose on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast. Join us on this love journey.
What do explorers, an Army officer, and a Minnesota insurance salesman have in common? They all wanted to be the first to reach the North Pole, but only one of them made it. I'm Kat Long, science editor at Mental Floss and host of the new podcast, The Quest for the North Pole, which dives into the centuries-long race to explore the Arctic, find the Northwest Passage, and conquer the top of the world. With a cast of daring adventurers and some pretty determined amateurs, the race to the pole reveals the human desire to solve mysteries of geography and the soul. We'll look at the important Arctic expeditions that filled the blank spaces on the map and recognize how indigenous people made them successful. We'll examine what pushed explorers to venture ever farther into the unknown and uncharted, and how the climate crisis is changing the Arctic today. Listen to The Quest for the North Pole every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back. Before we get into the new music, we got to give a shout out to the homie, our brother we grew up with, my man Note. Shout out to Note for having a baby girl.
Yes, a baby girl. Lovely.
She was born last night?
A baby girl. No, yesterday morning.
Yesterday morning, yeah.
January 2nd, yesterday morning.
Yeah. Life moving fast, yo.
Yeah.
People having babies. I mean, you've been having babies, but people having babies now, yo. It's popping, but yeah.
Yeah, happy. Shout out to him, man. It's a beautiful thing. Told him, man, like, you know, life changes now. You hustling for two people. Like, yeah, you know what I mean?
Listen. Like, you got to write like a dad manual.
Yeah, I think I'm going to do that.
And hand it to him.
Write down all the rules. Yeah. Him and our brother Raj, you know what I mean?
Raj is having a baby too. Yo.
Yeah. I think I'll do it. I'm going to write it all up. I'll give it to him on that getaway we're doing next month.
Let's do it. Yeah. Let's fucking do it. We got to give a happy birthday shout out too.
Yeah.
To the homie Reef. Reef the Lost Cause, who just put out a new song.
Just dropped a new joint for his birthday.
It's his birthday, but he giving us music. Gifts. Yeah. Come on. Yeah, the song is called Old Boy.
Yeah.
I don't know if they got it on like Spotify and stuff like that. I watched the video.
Hey, I just watched the video.
That shit is official.
Yeah. I mean, it probably is on like Bandcamp or something.
Yeah.
It's just straight bars.
Barring you down.
Yeah, like he says on it, like, you know, on the last joint, I gave you my heart. On this joint, I'm giving you bars. Like,
he did. On his last album was so tender.
Yes.
And like introspective. And now he's like back to strangling people on the mic.
Sean P. Barbarian, John. You know what I mean?
I love that video. Rest in peace, Sean P. I love that video where Sean Price is rapping and Reef is just like young Reef is behind him, backing him up. I love that shit. But we want to get into some other records.
Yeah, some other new shit that dropped.
To West Side Gun. Put out Fly's Nigga in Charge.
Yes.
Yeah. Listen, some shit from 2005.
Westside had bars for you.
Yeah, bars back then. Yo, all y'all niggas should be acting like.
Yo, Westside kid.
Shout out to the Bull. Fucking clown ass nigga. This DJ Bull. I can't think of his name. But he tried to jump. I wrote something about Westside on like Facebook or whatever. He's like, man, that guy's a clown. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And then he like deleted me he blocked me for liking Westside Gun. But Westside Gun is the shit now. And apparently he was the shit
back then.
15 years ago.
Yeah.
Old mixtape he reissued.
How about that 15 years ago? Holy shit.
Fly's Nigga in Charge. He got Benny on it.
Young Benny. Conway. Baby Benny.
Yeah, Conway on it.
A.K.A. Cannon.
Cannon. Dog. And what's crazy, you know how like they'll go to like, you know, Rap Radar or like Sway or, you know, any of the like radio shows or Funk Flex, and Westside won't even rhyme.
Yeah.
He'll just let, you know, Conway and Benny out. He kind of doing that on this joint. Like he giving you bars, like the one joint, the freestyle joint, he's rhyming over the Alicia Keys and Kanye joint. You don't know.
Yeah.
He's rhyming over that shit, destroying it. He sound like Ghost, like Clientele era Ghost.
Yeah, absolutely.
Killing that shit. But most of it is like Conway, Benny, and like they homies rhyming.
Yeah.
He's rhyming on it, West Side, but a lot of that shit, he like letting his people shine.
Yeah.
That shit, I said on Facebook, because this was like the height of like the mixtape era. This shit, if I knew about this shit then, I would have been bumping it right alongside like Harlem Diplomats, Roscoe P. Coldchain, Street Commission, Ghostface, Hidden Darts, all of that shit like that, like, you know, that like Bad Weed and Chicken Wing era, like, that would have been like, this would have been my shit. Definitely. You know what I mean?
And supposedly this never came out. Like when he did it, it just never dropped.
Oh, wow. So yeah,
I
think
I was reading that on IG. He was saying like, when I did this, it never dropped.
Wow.
This is, I'm officially releasing it now.
That's crazy. Oh, so I thought it was, okay. I thought it was out there.
No, as far as I understand, if I read it right on IG, he said, this never came out.
Yeah.
I'm officially releasing it.
Yeah. That shit is really dope.
Yeah. It's really dope. Yeah, it's real dope. And it's like dope to see like where their styles evolve from and that kind of shit.
Because Conway, obviously this was before his face was paralyzed. But the tone of his voice sounds the same.
Yeah.
Like you can instantly, you hear, you like, oh shit, yeah, that's Conway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can like really hear it. But yeah, they like spitting on this shit. And it's like in a classic mixtape style where they're rhyming over like industry beats,
quote unquote. They rhyme over the stand beat,
right?
Dog.
Tears go cold. I wonder why.
Yeah,
niggas was talking about Remember when Cam dissed the boy Stan Spit?
Yeah.
Over that beat? And niggas was talking about how what Cam say? He said, I was going to call you on Mother's Day, but your mother's dead.
We got to make, like, I don't know if we want to do an official, like, beef episode, maybe. Mm-hmm.
I feel like maybe other podcasts have done that. I don't know. We got to do some shit where we talk about how disrespectful Cam was.
Cam was
in battle, dog. Yes. The funniest shit.
So he's disrespectful in friendship. Like, he's done vile shit in friendship.
Disrespectful, like, IRL. The shit that always get me, when they was dissing Hov, and Cam was like, nigga, you 35 years old, blah, 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 blah. You trying to rap, blah, 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 blah. And as the song went on, Hov age kept going up. So then he come back, nigga, you 48 years old, Hov, blah, 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 blah. You 50 years old.
Like, yo.
But how's the king of New York wearing chacletas on a boat?
Yo.
He said, hold up, stop the beat. How's the king of New York wearing jeans and sandals? I was like, yo. I remember when that shit came out. I was listening to it. I was like, yo, Hov gotta beat this nigga up. Like, he can't let this nigga stand just like talking shit about him.
Yeah.
That shit, he said. We're going to get back to him. I'm just geeking off of Cam, yo. He said to Nas, he said, hey, your mom's is a whip-wop head.
Yeah.
How the fuck you try to be a hip-hop head?
I was like, yo, you got to knock this nigga out, dog.
You can't let this nigga say your mom's a whip. I never even heard that term in the 80s, a whip-wop head. Niggas ain't say that around our way, yo.
Dog, he had, like, Cam Knuckle game must be like on a beam.
Really?
Because
he talked too crazy. He gotta be beating niggas up back in the day.
Yeah.
There's no fucking way. But yeah, long story short, West Side Gun flies nigga in charge. It's dope. Like if you know, especially if you were around during that era, like early 2000s and all of that, you were fucking with like the mixtape shit and the street shit, you would enjoy it. You'll thoroughly enjoy it. I also, this week, I checked out Philly MC.
Okay.
Del P got an album called Make Him See and Great Again.
Okay, I thought maybe that was one of, like, Del, the Funky Homo Sapiens, multiple, like...
Percent, Del tried...
I was like, oh, all right, maybe Del got something new.
We got to check in on Del, because... Nah, remember this shit? Last year, he, like, fell off the stage.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
with the
gorillas.
Yeah, I hope he's, like, okay. But nah, this is a different Del.
Okay, word.
He from Philly, and when I say he is barring this record down, he killing this shit, dog.
Word.
Yeah, yo, he got... I'm trying to think who was on the joint. He got, shout out to my man Boogeyman De La. He's on that shit. Slaughter Rico is on it and killing it. I want like, I don't know if Slaughter Rico put out some new shit, but I want like an album from him.
Word.
Because he been nice since the DVD era and then probably before then. But yeah, like the beats on this shit is hard. If you like people like really rhyming and like really killing it on some like Philly shit, on some like lyrical shit, and the beats are solid and really dope, I would definitely recommend this joint. It's gonna make MC and Great Again. It's really fucking solid.
Well, that's what's up. I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, yeah. Dope shit.
I'm gonna definitely check it out.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, you can check us out on Instagram, Twitter. Maybe I won't be banned this week. Maybe I will. Who never knows?
They banned you.
Yeah, they banned
you. What did they ban you for?
Quoting people to judge, dog. Like,
so you said, wait, literally, like.
And I quoted people to judge. That's the only thing I remember is in the tweet that they banned was, they banned me for, was a quote from people to judge. I just labeled it as Reagan Jr.
Reagan Jr.
And
eat a
someone
dick,
reported,
Pete Buttigieg.
And someone reported it.
Wow.
So. Like, I don't know, man. Like, you know, whatever.
It's a blessing, yo. Niggas be letting me cook. Because, like, really.
I'm trying to get like my mom's. My mom's banned on Twitter for coming at Trump. So I'm trying to get like my mom. Yeah.
Your mom can't come back.
No, she's like banned from Twitter. You know?
She can't come back with a different email?
I mean.
That's what I would do, dog.
My mom is like, she's halfway in technology, halfway out. She legit still asks, like, when she gets a new computer, can I get my email on this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So,
yo, transfer my email over to my new computer.
Yeah, so, like, I don't know, like, the whole idea of being like, oh, I got to sign in under a different thing and blah, 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 blah. Like, I don't know if she's, like, prepared to go into that much.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? But, yeah.
I'd be hurt if they
banned you on Twitter.
They banned me on Twitter. I'd be mad as shit.
I ain't find out about the Iran war until later because, like, my Twitter was banned.
You walking around like you think everything cool. 2020, everything's coming up, Milhouse. You're like, nah, we're actually in World War III.
Yeah, we started World War III. I ain't know. Twitter. Like, Twitter ain't tell me, so I wasn't sure.
Niggas been letting me cook, yo, because I say all kind of shit, you know, on social media, especially, like, years ago,
yeah,
you know what I mean? Say all kind of shit. I've only been in Facebook jail like once.
I mean, at least once, maybe twice.
Right.
And one time it was like I requested somebody who they didn't know me and they reported it.
Oh,
like,
and they were like, yo, fuck out of here.
Yeah, like, yo, you might have had big titties or something. Like, you know what I mean?
I didn't request you for you. I requested you for the titties.
Take the titties out the profile pic.
Go get me too'd on the podcast. Jesus.
No, like, I legit think that's what it was like. I got, but, like, I think at the time, like, it was when I had first got onto Facebook and I was just adding people to add people.
Right. That's now, what you did.
I honestly don't know, like, the last person I went out and added.
Yep.
Like, I've had people add me,
yeah,
but I haven't gone out and really added anybody. Like,
don't add me on Facebook.
You know what I mean?
You know what I'm saying? I think with me, it was, we're done. Podcast is over. Don't turn this off. We just shooting the shit. But I think the last person or the last time I was in or the one time really that I was in Facebook jail, it might have been on some white person accusing me of being like a reverse racist or some shit.
Oh, for
real? They didn't like some shit I said about white people. Yeah. That's what it was. Because I remember they like.
You told them like go back to the island of Patmos or something like that.
They not even supposed to know about that. It was some goofy shit, and they ended up like throwing me in the little bing-a-ling for a minute. But, you know, I persevered. I survived. It was all good.
Yeah.
I did my time. I ain't snitch.
Hey, that's what you gotta do. You ride it out. You know what I mean? You know, you're getting yourself doing your push-ups.
Yep.
You know what I mean? You come out stronger, more focused, Muslim maybe. Like, you
came
know what
out
I mean?
Facebook jail Muslim.
You know what I mean? Come home with the kufi on.
Listen.
Go to your mom. She like cooking some greens or something. You're like, yo, I can't eat that because you got the pork in
there. Do the slide in there.
Like,
I can't fuck with it. Listen.
Go in the fridge. Like, yo, I can't do the jello no more.
Nah. It's swine inside Hostess Cakes.
Yeah.
Shout out the goose. Yellow number 5. Come on. Y'all know about that.
Nah.
So, no, yeah.
But yeah, yo, find us on Twitter and Instagram and all the wonderful places. Rate and review us. Subscribe at the iHeartMedia app or Apple Podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts. Rate, review, and subscribe.
Come on.
You know, we'll be back next week as long as the world hasn't blown up from nuclear warfare. We'll be back.
Come on.
I mean, maybe this episode might not even get aired. Like, you know what I mean? There's a good chance.
Or at the least, it might be the final one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, listen to it a million times.
Absolutely. Word. Get your friends to download it just in case. You know what I mean?
Niggas, yo,
maybe your phone don't survive the apocalypse, but theirs does. This way you have entertainment once the world's gone away.
I tell y'all what. Download this shit, throw it on a mini disc, and listen to it in your underground bunkers as, you know, they like fucking drop bombs on us. From above.
Yep.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Episode we'll be... title, Death from Above.
Death from I can't do it. Niggas would be too bad. I can't do it. But yeah, we'll be back. I'm sure of it. It'll be fine. We'll be back.
Yeah.
Peace.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
It's safe to say 2020 was one of the most difficult years ever for so many. That's why I'm here to ask you, how can I help? My name is Dr. Gail Saltz. I'm a clinical associate professor of psychiatry at the New York Presbyterian Hospital, host of the new weekly podcast, How Can I Help? With Dr. Gail Saltz, brought to you by the Seneca Women Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. Join me every Friday, where you can ask your most pressing questions and I will answer with specific advice and understanding. Listen to How Can I Help? With Dr. Gail Saltz on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.